Okay, we continue tonight with Masechas Beitza, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. We're going to begin the second line at the top of the Yom. Tnan Hasam, there's a Mishnah there in Masechas Chulin, Dorsa, O Shatarfa Bakosel, O Sharitsa Behema, Umifarcheses, Vishasam Eis Lais, Vishachta Kshera. The Mishnah over here describes a situation where a bird was trampled upon, or it was thrown into a wall, or it was squashed by an animal, and it moves around, violently, as if it's very seriously traumatized and injured by this, by these incidents, and then b'shasam eis leis, and then it manages to survive for 24 hours. So apparently, whatever injuries it suffered, at least initially, did not appear to be life threatening, and then v'shachta, and then the animal is shechted. So the din is kashera. It's permissible to eat that animal. And according to the Tanna Kamma, no bedika is necessary. You don't have to examine the animal further to determine whether or not it's a treif at all. That's not necessary because we see that the animal survived. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus, tzricha bedika. However, the Mishnah over here tells us that there was a dissenting view, Rabbi Elazar ben Yanai, who says that no, a tzricha is necessary. And the purpose of this bedika is to make sure that even though the animal survived 24 hours, we still want to make sure by examining the inside of the animal that it did not sustain any injuries that would render the bird a treifa, and thereby forbid the animal for consumption, even though it was shechted. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira the following question: can you take this bird and shecht it on Yom Tif? Mi mechaskinan reyusa b'Yom Tif? Hello? What's the shaila? So the shaila is, do we say that there's a chazaka, we assume that there's a chazaka that is going to have a reyusa, that we're going to discover that there's going to be some problem on Yom Tif, or no? So Rashi over here spells out the shaila. Take a look at Rashi about almost halfway down the Amud already. Mal l'shachta b'Yom Tif, says Rashi, mechaskinan ho l'tzricha b'dika v'slad b'yoheyusa, since what? It requires a b'dika. Because there's a, and therefore, is yelled reyusa. We've already, there's already a situation where there is some mitigating. Well, it's not really mitigating. There's some complicating factor over here. There's some factor which raises a very significant question as to whether or not the bird is kosher. So, mi mechaskin and reyusa begavah mishum chashash iser melacha biyamtiv. Should we say that this reyus is significant enough that it now raises the concern that maybe there's an Isra Malach in shechting this bird? Why? Dilma mishtachach treifa, because maybe we'll discover that the bird's a treifa. V'nimtza shochta shalol tzarech, and it turns out that what? You shechted a bird shalol tzarech, that is going to be a malacha. Bishlam ashar behemos, avagabin de machmirin anafshin, but kinan mihu samchinan aruba, v'ro behemos heim in the treifos. So Rashi points out that when it comes to other behemos, even though the custom is that after we shecht an animal, we check to make sure that it's not a treifa, nevertheless, rov behemos are not going to be treifos. So over here, however, because of the circumstances, there's reason to assume that maybe this bird is a treifa, and so therefore we should say that it's us to go ahead and shecht this bird l'chalchila, because we're putting ourselves in a situation where we will likely discover that the bird is a treifa, even if it's not probable in terms of there being a, let's say, greater 50% chance, but there's already a significant reyusa. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tanina. We learn in the Mishnah here, right here in Masechus Beitza, what do we learn? In Melabdin es Arafim Litzos Behen. We said that you're not permitted to go ahead and to heat these tiles in order to roast an egg on them. Vahavinam Ba, and we said regarding this, Maiko Ovid, what's wrong with heating up these tiles? What's the malacha? So we had seen previously on the bottom of the previous amud and the top of this amud that we're talking about rafim chadashim, we're talking about new tiles, and the concern is that you have to do bedika afterwards to make sure that they can withstand the heat. And what's the concern? Says Rashi, we're concerned that maybe they'll crack. And therefore we say, because of this risk that they may actually break, they may shatter, in which case it turned out that whatever was done shalol tzarech, there was a tircha shalol tzarech. So therefore we say, you know what, don't do it in the first place. Don't heat up these tiles the first time, because they may crack, and it turned out that your entire effort was really in vain. So Rabbi Zeira says back to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so what do you see? You see that really you should not go ahead and enter a situation in which there is a reya, so there are circumstances which there's a significant concern which doesn't normally exist that would render the act that you're doing to be considered unnecessary lumafreya, that we'll discover something which we'll see that really you should not have done this in the first place. So he Amalei says, no, this is not a raya, because Hanam ibn Shetzurch lechasman masdin Allah. Because as you may recall, the Gemara on the top of the Zamed brought down two reasons as to why it is you cannot go ahead and heat these tiles for the first time. Either Shetzurch lebatkin, because you have to make sure that they can withstand the heat and they're not going to crack, or Mibnei Shetzurch lechasman, because this is still necessary in order to harden them, and according to this is an issue of tikkun mana. In other words, there were two possible reasons as to why you can't heat these tiles. But it's possible it's nothing to do because there's a chashash that they're going to break. It's just because heating it for the first time would be considered sort of finishing the job, perfecting the product. This is awesome, but that doesn't apply by the bird. By the bird, there's no issue of tikkun mana over here. It's only a question whether or not you could shecht it, knowing, of course, that there's a possibility that the bird is a treifa. So it's an interesting shakla b'tayya. First, the Gemara assumes that maybe we can resolve this question by looking at this, the analysis of our Mishnah, and the Gemara rejects this by saying, really, there are two ways to understand the din of the Mishnah, and according to the second interpretation, it does not in any way whatsoever shed light on this particular question that was raised over here. Okay, continues the Gemara Tanya. The Gemara quotes a brisa: Echad hamevi, echad mevis aor, vechad mevis aitzim, vechad shofis sakadera, vechad mevis amum. Excuse me, it's amayim, vechad nosim besochat tavlin, vechad megis kulim chayavim. The Brice over here is talking about Shabbos. We're not talking about Yom Tif. And says that if one guy brings the fire, and the other guy brings the wood, and the other guy is Shofes as a Gedera. Shofes as a Gedera means, says Rashi, Moshiva Rekonis Alaor. He places an empty pot on top of the fire. Vechod Mevis Amayim. And another guy goes and brings the water. And another guy places the spices on top. Vechod Megis, another guy stirs the pot. Kulon Chayavin. They are all going to be chayev a carbon. They're all in violation of Shabbos. So Rashi explains, kulin chayavin, maybe it's a or mishum mavir, it's like a cheles. The person who brings the fire, so he violated Shabbos because he, what did he do? He was over the Yisra of Havara. He ignited the coals. Dikshum alicha, he mislabna meruach alichaso. Because when he carries the coal from one place to another, so it causes the embers to ignite and the flames to burst forth, and this is going to be an Esir HaVavara. Or maybe it's an Eitzim La'or Mishum Mavir. The person who goes out and brings the fire, so for sure, what did he do? He put wood in fire. That's going to be a problem. Shofes HaGedeir L'kamei Mefarish Mayavid. Says Rashi, the Gemara is going to explain what the guy who did the empty pot, what he did wrong. Nosin Mayin V'tavlin Amegis Mishum Mavashel. And the guy who goes ahead and puts in the water, and the other guy puts in the spice, and the guy who stirs it, all these people are in violation of cooking on Shabbos, sha'afhu av malacha, because we know this is also considered to be an av malacha. So here we have one brisa that says all these individuals bear personal responsibility and they're all culpable separately, one from the other. But Tanya, we have another brisa that says achron chayv kulim paturin. We have another brisa that says no, only the last guy is going to be over nisir, but the rest of them are pater. So says the Gemara, how could this be? After all, seems that we have a contradiction over here between brisos. So it's more lokashia. Ha, the icy or mekara. Ha, the icy or lebesof. The circumstances are different. The first case where it says, let's say the other way. The first case where it says that kulun chayovin, that's how the icy or lebesof. I'm sorry, that's where the fire was brought first. The fire was brought first, in which case everybody participates in an act of either havar or bishul, because the fire was there, then the guy brings the wood, he does something wrong. The guy puts the pot down in the water, everybody's doing something. However, where it says echor chayav mekulin, only the achron is chayav, that's talking about a case where everybody set everything up. So one guy brings the wood, and the other guy brings the pot, the other guy brings the water, the spices, but nobody has lit a fire yet. And then the last guy goes ahead and he brings the fire, so he's really the only one who did anything wrong. So this is how the Gemara resolves this contradiction. So says the Gemara, Bishlama Kulu Ka'avdi Maisa. So we understand what all these guys did wrong, as we already saw in Rashi. Ela Shofeis Kadera Maikovid. What did the guy who put the empty pot on the fire do wrong? What did he do wrong? What's the issue putting an empty pot? It's not Havara, it's not Bishl. So Amrim Shimon Lakish Hacha Bikter Chadash Askinan Mishun Libun Ra'afim Naguba. So we're talking over here about a brand new pot, and the concern over here is similar to the issue that was raised in our Mishnah of Libun Ra'afim, again of heating up the tiles for the first time. Says Rashi Mishum Hach Gezera Gufay Shasu Labin Ra'afim Naguba Bazu. Whatever the reason is for that, that's the same reason over here. So we saw there are two possibilities as to why it's usur. It's either usur because it may crack, or it's usur because it's tikkun mana. So whatever the concern is over there, same thing over here, says the Gemara. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur v'kirayim chadashim harehen k'chol hakelim anitolim b'chatzim. If you're dealing with a new tanur or a kira, new ovens, they are like all other kelim anitolim b'chatzer. They're like all other types of kelim which can be moved in the chatzer. So as Rashi was talking about on Shabbos, what business do you have moving a kira on Shabbos? After all, what are you going to possibly do with it? Says Rashi, says the chazul lemesa b'gavayim either, because even though you don't cook or bake on Shabbos, so they have no purpose as far as their primary function is concerned. Nevertheless, they could be used for storage. People, you know, sometimes stores things in ovens. Even today, people do that. Even on Shabbos, nothing wrong with that. If the oven is off, you want to go ahead and put something inside, that's fine. So, there's no isur muksa, says the Braisa. Aval, however, in sochnos shemen, you may not go ahead and line it with oil, pshmir oil over it. Says Rashi, lahachlikon al-tzachzachon. This would be done in order to smoothen it out. And this was done in order to, you know, to prepare the oven for use. V'in toshin also b'matlis, nor can you wipe it down with a matlis, with a shmata. You can't do that. Also, these things, this is what would be done in order to get it ready for use. V'in mafigin also b'tzonon k'dei l'chasma, nor can you go ahead and be mafigit, but after it's heated up, to cool it down in cold water, and this would be done in order to harden it. Says Rashi, in mafigan hasan la'achar hasekon, after they've been burned out, in mafigan hasekon betzonon lachasman, you shouldn't put it in cold water in order to harden it. Shemiskashin ayidei tzonon, because it gets harder by putting it in the cold water. V'kulhu mishum d'mesakin mana. All these cases that were mentioned, all these prohibited activities, other than moving it, which the Braisa says is mutter, but everything else over here is also mishum d'tikun mana, because, again, you're finishing the product and preparing the oven for use.
That's still Shabbos.
It's that's even on Yom Tov. Even on Yom Tov, it sounds like you can't do that. When it said before, did I read Rashi correct? Harin kachol and kelim nitolim b'Shabbos b'chatzer. So maybe it could be the Rashi was just pointing out that right. It's just like all kelim or Yom Tov, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And then the Mishnah concludes, "Vim b'shvil lafos harizam mutter." So this is clear that this is talking about Yom Tov. Because then it says, however, if you're doing all these things in order to bake in them, so it's going to be mutter. Says Rashi, "Vim lafigam b'shvil lafos shuhusku harbe v'choshe shalot tisraf hapas." You're not doing it in order because you're trying to be. It's not tikkun mana over here. It's just part of the baking process because you've used the oven a lot and you're concerned that the bread is going to get burned, so you want to cool it down a little bit, so then it's mutter, right? They didn't have thermostats and ways to regulate the temperature in the ovens the way we do today, so therefore sometimes you had to put wort in the oven in order to bring the temperature down, and maybe to smear a little oil over it, maybe that also. So if that's the purpose why you're doing it, so then it is mutter. So it's not, we don't say low plug that you're never permitted to go ahead and line the inside of an oven. It depends on what the purpose is. If it's mishum tikkun mana, so then this is going to be aser. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. Molgin as harosh v'esareglayim. What does this mean, molgin? Says Rashi, molgin beroschin. We're talking over here about pouring hot water, scalding water, over the head of an animal or over the feet of the animal after it's dead, in order to remove the hair. Umahavin osan ba'or. You can do this. Molgin as harosh v'esareglayim. You may pour scalding water over the head or over the feet. And you may go ahead and singe the hairs in a fire. Aval in toflanos and becharsis. However, toflanos becharsis says Rashi in toflanos ad besid lasir saron. You cannot go ahead and smear it with a special type of sid with lime in order to go ahead and to remove the hair. Daviderach of dunim. This is the manner in which the tanners, those who would prepare hides and do this type of work on animal, this is exactly how they would do it. This was the normal manner. So in toflanos becharsis v'lo ba'domen, or with earth, v'lo b'sid, v'lo with lime, vein gozin anosa b'smarayim, and you cannot go ahead and cut it with scissors, says Rashi, the mechzik tzarech l'seir. Even though technically, if you're only doing this in order to remove the hair so that you're preparing the animal, technically it should be permissible. However, it looks like you're doing this because you want the hair. That is going to be an issur of giza, and that's something which is of gozes, and that's something which is prohibited. And then the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, "Vein gozes in as a yorak b'taspores shelo." You cannot even go ahead and cut up a vegetable. Says Rashi, the vegetable is talush. Sheyesh beroshe alin at near kavim, and there are certain rotted leaves, kmushin. Ain gozin also betasparis shelo she gozin ba mina mechubar. Demand the chazi savish shalakten ayom. The reason you can't do this is because it's an iser of marasayin, because it looks like you just removed these vegetables today, and that's where you're cutting it today. It doesn't, you know. Normally, people I guess right after they detach it from the ground, that's when they would do this cutting off of the trimming, taking off the rotted leaves. So if you happen to have been tolish the vegetable yesterday, you should not do this ziza today. Aval mesaknin esakundis vesachbayos, but you can go ahead and be mesakin kundis vachbayos, as Rashi, meaning yirakosein. These are types of vegetables sheyesh tarach betikunan that require a lot of effort in preparation in order to prepare them for achila. It's a whole process that's permissible. You're permitted to do that. Umasikin vaofin bepurni. And you can go ahead and you can burn out and bake in a puni, says Rashi, Hintanurim Shalonu Agdolim Upiyam Bestidim. This is like the ovens that we have, big ovens, which open on the side. Luchashina Latircha im Yesh Lo Aochan Harbe, the Lo Sagile Betanur. You have to be concerned that there's a whole tircha involved, because after all, they're very large ovens and there's a lot of food in there. If the reason you're doing it is because the regular oven's not going to work, so this is permissible. Umechabin chamin ba'antichi, and you can go ahead and you can heat up water. Antichi is a very large pot. Again, we're not concerned about the extra effort if this is necessary for yamtif. However, in ofen b'puni chadasha shema tifchas. However, you cannot go ahead and bake in a puni chadasha, this same type of oven that we mentioned earlier, but a brand new one, you shouldn't do, because we're worried that it will crack. Again, says Rashi, the concern over here is that it will turn out that your efforts were in vain, and therefore everything that you did was a tircha shelo l'tzarach, and so therefore we seem to see consistently, at least in regards to these activities, that there's this idea that if there's a significant concern that the kelim you're going to use are going to crack because they have not really been prepared for use, so you shouldn't do it, because it'll turn out that all of your efforts were shelo l'tzarach. And finally, we just go to the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, ein novchin b'mapoach, aval novchin b'shfoferes. You cannot go ahead and blow a fire using a mapoach, which is a bellows. It says Rashi, demechzi ke'uman osa malacha, because it looks like you're doing what an uman does when he does a malacha. However, you can use a shfoferes, a straw. That's permissible. You should not go ahead and fashion out to fix a spit, nor should you sharpen it. Says Rashi, Udlok Rabbi Yehuda. We had seen earlier that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's permissible. Says Rashi, so either it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Inami be nirtzame erev yamtiv v'divrei hakol. Or we're talking about a case where you could have done this on Erev Yom Tov, is that correct? In which case everybody agrees, right? This is the shail of Machshir Ochel Nefesh. So we saw that Rabbi Yehuda was Mekel when it comes to Machshir Ochel Nefesh. But if it's a case where what you could have done it Erev Yom Tov, so then everybody agrees it's going to be Aser. Tanu Rabbanon, in Mefatzin es Akana Litzlos Bo Meliach, Ava Mefatzin es Egos Mematlis Vein Choshen Shema Tikra. You should not go ahead and cut a reed or hollow out a reed in order to roast on it. Aval Mefatzin es Egos Mematlis. You can go ahead and crack open a nut in a matlis, in a towel of sorts. You don't have to be concerned that it's going to tear. So what would they do? I guess you would wrap the nut inside of the matlis and then probably take it and smack it down on the table. Says Rashi, even if it ends up tearing, we don't care about that. Because this is not real kriya anyway. The malach of kriya typically is where a person is kriya amanat litfor. You tear in order to go ahead and re-sew something. So the tearing is really constructive. So normally, you don't go ahead and l'chadchila just tear things. That's still going to be asur midrabbanan. However, in this particular case, since what you're doing is you're not intending to tear at all. You're just trying to crack open the nut. So if, in the course of that particular activity, the matlis tears, it's not a concern, because even that is not something that would be considered malacha anyway. So in this situation, it is permissible. Okay. So now we're at the Mishnah. Hopefully.